Oh, the gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, the verdict's in. Hot dogs and ribs.
Yes.
How about that?
We had them both.
You did good.
Yesterday.
I wasn't demanding or anything, and you'd already planned it.
I had, yes.
It's amazing. Hot dogs for lunch, ribs for supper. Can't argue with that. What's more American than that?
Not much.
We paid our respects yesterday, but we also had some good food. We were thinking about those who had given their lives in armed conflict. Right? But we also had a good family time. But today we're talking about something else. Saw a piece in the Canada Free Press. Selwyn Duke. He's going to advocate legislating morality. What do you think about that?
Well, it depends on whose morality.
Yeah, well, that's
it
what he would
I
say.
Means I have to wear a head covering.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's a moral issue in the minds of some, right? You got to wear a head covering. We're going to make everybody do that. We're going to force everybody to do that through the government. I don't think so. Anyway, let me give you a little quote or two here. Actually, more than a quote or two. But we're going to interact with this piece. We're going to have a conversation. He says, you can't legislate morality as a common battle cry today. It's thought to be a quintessentially American idea, even though the Founding Fathers never expressed such a sentiment, nor did the early Americans who would unabashedly enforce a biblical-based code of morality in their localities, both via social pressure and governmental laws, with transgressors sometimes spending time in stocks or worse. So that's your defense? That's your rationale for legislating morality because the Puritans used to do it?
He apparently hasn't read my favorite book about recently that was published in 2012. Just a history of Roger Williams and the persecution he went through with the Puritans. They wanted to kill him just because of some of his beliefs were different.
That's right. I think that's John Barry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, Roger Williams, the fundamental, the conservative, Bible-believing Puritan Baptist, who also believed in religious liberty and really liberty in general in a civil society, founded Rhode Island. You know, he wanted a separation between church and state, huh?
Yeah, Providence, but yeah.
Well, he founded the whole state, didn't he? Or did he just found Providence?
Well, I know he got a charter for Providence, but...
I think it's the whole state.
Okay. Well, good. All right.
Hey, I'll check the history books on that. Maybe I better read the biography again. Anyhow.
Anyway, but that was his...
Point is, they tried to kill him.
Yeah,
the Puritans.
He wanted to set up a place where you were... true religious freedom.
Yeah.
You could express yourself and just have civil laws that would affect living among one another civilly.
Yeah. Hey, you think we ought to start outlawing adultery again, put a big old scarlet letter A on your chest if you commit adultery?
Are you asking me personally?
Well, I mean, I'm...
Sure, I'd like you to know.
Yeah. Well, we know adultery's wrong, but I'm talking about, about... legislating these things through the government. I mean, church discipline's one thing. That's biblical, right? You know, you want people to feel guilty. You want people to feel ashamed if they're going to do something like that. And you want them to repent and you want them to be restored to fellowship. But if we're going to use the government, well, that's a different issue altogether. So I think we need to understand some things. But... here's a guy, here's Selwyn Duke, he's saying you have to legislate morality. In fact, here's what he says. He says the only thing we should legislate is morality. Interesting.
Then why do we have, like, truancy laws? I'm joking. So he'd say that's an unjust law because
I don't know what he'd say. Well, the truancy law is a moral issue.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, in the minds of some.
In the minds of some, yeah, but I don't think it's a... Anyway, you go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't want to get too far afield. Listener, he's got enough to say about things like that. We can interact
with him. Yeah,
so hang on.
All right.
We'll get there, I promise. excuse me. He says, if we enact just one law, let's say prohibiting murder, we have legislated morality. All right, now that's true. Now I'm going to come back to that. I still think he makes a bad argument. I haven't said that, so I'm saying it now.
Okay.
Because I don't think we need to be legislating morality. In fact, I know we shouldn't. But we got to define our terms.
Yes, I was going to say.
We have to explain
that. You certainly do not think we should allow murder.
Well, of course. Anyway, but I want you to hear what he says. See, there's a misunderstanding out there of what we're talking about. He's saying people like me have the misunderstanding.
Okay.
But I don't have the misunderstanding. He does.
Okay.
He probably a brother. I don't know. I didn't even check. You know, I'm just reading the piece here. But I have heard a lot of other Christian brothers who podcast, who broadcast over the radio, whatever. They have a misunderstanding, and they misrepresent the position of people like me.
Okay.
All right? So that's why we're interacting here. Well, I mean, I just saw the piece. That's why we're interacting with this. So let's move on. He says, the only people who could credibly say they wouldn't legislate morality are those who wouldn't legislate at all, anarchists. Well, again, that... I can credibly say I wouldn't legislate morality for morality's sake or issues. I mean, I've said this before, and this is what we'll have to come back and explain. There are issues that are moral only, and there are issues that are moral and civil. The question is, why are they civil as well?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that Christians miss. That's where they stop short in their thinking.
Okay.
Because if you say, well, you know, everything we legislate, and I've heard people say this, is rooted in somebody's moral code. Well, that's true, but that doesn't make it right. You say, well, you say we can't legislate morality, but you would legislate some morality, like you'd say you can't murder. That's right. That's because it's a moral issue, but it's not a moral issue only. It's a civil issue as well. There are other moral issues that are not civil issues, and that's the distinction that you have to make. And I don't hear anybody making that distinction, at least in the Christian camp. And we should be. I know there are people out there. I'm just saying the folk that I kind of interact with. Does that make sense?
It does, but I think you need to explain your position more.
Well, I'm going to.
Because I think people are still confused. You're talking around a lot. So what do you mean civilly? What do you mean the difference between morality and civilly?
Okay.
How do you separate that out not call it morality?
Well, I'm not saying I'm not calling it morality. I want to walk through a couple more quotes before I flesh out the biblical view. So you got to be a little patient.
Okay.
So hang on.
Our listeners need to hear
that. I'm saying to the listeners. It's coming. It's coming. I'm gonna show you what we're talking about. There's going to be a light bulb moment, I hope. That's my point. That's my prayer. He goes on. He says, a law is by definition the imposition of a value, which can be positive, negative, or neutral, and a just law is the imposition of a moral principle. Well, wait a minute. You're defining a just law. He defines it as the imposition of a moral principle. Again, I'm going to go back to your question. Well, whose moral principles are we talking about? Would we say forcing people to wear a head covering is a just law?
I think he would say no.
Well, he would say no, yeah. But so his definition's not any good.
Okay. Yeah.
But be that as it may, this is the problem when you're confused about these issues. And he comes out with strong words. You know, people like me, quote unquote, are not credible. Now, I don't take offense at that. That's not the point. But I'm saying you're using strong words, and yet your arguments are contradictory. They're self-contradictory because you really don't understand what you're talking about. And I don't say that in an ugly way. I say that Christians, we got to do better than this. We just have to do better. Okay. Anyway, he says, this is because a law states that there's something you must or must not do, ostensibly because the action is a moral imperative, is morally wrong, or as a corollary thereof. Now, see, I totally disagree with that statement. Here's what he's saying. He's saying a law says there's something you must or must not do. That's true. But then he says, but that's because the action is a moral imperative. That is not true. Murder might be wrong, and to murder someone, thou shalt not kill, yes, that's a moral imperative. But that's not why we have a law against murder. We don't have a law against murder because it's a moral imperative. How about this? You're not allowed to take the name of the Lord in vain. It's a moral imperative not to take God's name in vain. It's a moral imperative to not have any idols. It's a moral imperative to worship God only, the God of the Bible. Now, are we going to make those moral imperatives into law? Again, I don't think so.
Well, his argument, he would say that's a just law, based on his argument.
Based on his definition. Yes. I'm just saying here's yet another way it falls to the ground. But just because we have a law, is it because it's a moral imperative? See, that's what I'm saying. No, just because you have a moral imperative doesn't mean you make it a law. And if you make something a law, it doesn't necessarily mean it's because it's a moral imperative. In fact, I would say the fact that it's a moral imperative, and it really has nothing to do with it. Except maybe in a... Well, I'm going to come back.
I'm going to explain that.
I mean, when I get to my point, so just hang on. I want you to hear a little bit more of his thinking. He says, if this is not the case, in other words, there's something you must or must not do, and so this is a moral imperative. That's law. It's a moral imperative. He says, if this is not the case, again, with what credibility do you legislate in the given area? All right, so I'm going to say, yes, I legislate with credibility, or I would legislate with credibility, the legislation that I would enact. I have a credible reason, so I'm coming to it. He says, there's no point imposing something that doesn't prevent a wrong or mandate some good. Okay, well, I agree with that statement as far as it goes. But listen to this. He says, this is why there will never be a powerful movement lobbying to criminalize strawberry ice cream or kumquats. By the way, I just wish people wouldn't use words because they think they sound funny. I mean, I'm just saying. why use kumquats? I mean, I'm being ugly. I'm judging.
Maybe he doesn't like it.
Judging motives. I shouldn't. But guess what?
Okay.
Guess what? You don't understand this culture if you don't think that there could be a powerful movement lobbying to criminalize strawberry ice cream or kumquats.
That's right.
We've already criminalized big gulp drinks.
That's right.
French fries.
Too much sugar.
Too much sugar. And see, these are quote unquote, this is somebody's view of morality. And you don't want people outlawing strawberry ice cream. You don't want people outlawing big soft drinks. You don't want people outlawing French fries. Did I already say that?
You did.
Okay. So again, whose morals are we talking about? So then he goes on, if a law is not underpinned by a valid moral principle, it is not a just law. Without morality, laws can be based on nothing but air. All right. Now I'm going to come back and deal with that. I do have to deal with a couple of other things he says, though, real quick. Maybe I can dispense with these quickly. He says, one cause of the strong negative reaction, in other words, legislating morality, and he says generally among libertarian leaners. See, now I'm a Christian libertarian. I'm a Christian. And I believe the way the gospel should be worked out in society, in civil society, is in a libertarian way, a libertarian construct. I think that's biblical. But he says that he says there's a strong negative reaction to, this statement, legislating morality, because he says in their minds the word morality itself, as with capitalism in liberal circles, is a term that's taken on a negative connotation. Well, now that is not true. See, part of your issue here is not just a misunderstanding of what law ought to be and what law ought not, what we should and should not legislate. Part of the problem is your misunderstanding of libertarianism. Libertarianism, as a political philosophy, doesn't have an issue with morality. It doesn't say anything positive or negative about morality. It doesn't address the issue of morality. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not that I have an aversion to good morals. No, I love good morals. I'm a Christian. King Jesus tells me how to live, and I submit as best I can. And when I fail, I repent. I hate immorality. I wish there would be no immorality in the land. I'm not going to outlaw it, but I wish it would be eradicated from the land. We've said this over and over and over again. And you know what? There are many Christian libertarians, and that's where they're at. And then there are non-Christian libertarians who feel the same way. But libertarianism doesn't address the issue of morality. Libertarianism does one thing. It says the government should protect my rights. And the government should protect everyone's rights. Basically, that's it. Period. End of story. And for some people, yeah, there are libertarians out there who engage in immoral acts, and they don't want the government telling them not to. And then there are a lot of libertarians who don't engage in immoral acts. But the point is, it's not an aversion to morality itself. So don't lump us into that category is what I'm saying. You know, anyway, he says, everyone advocating legislation, so here's we come back to the original issue. Everyone advocating legislation seeks to impose a conception of morality, or as modernists are wont to put it, a value set. For example, the only justification for forcing bakers to service faux weddings is the incorrect notion that it's wrong to deny such service. You see what he's saying here? These are people imposing a moral value. They think it's wrong to deny service, and so they're going to force you to do it. So you're arguing for legislating morality, but you say you can't legislate that morality. So how do you argue for legislating morality?
You need to be libertarian and give the baker the choice to do business with who he wants to. Well, that's where he doesn't understand.
That's right.
Because he, yes.
That's where he misses it.
Yes.
But what he's going to say...
He wants his worldview, Christian only, and he's being like a Puritan.
That's right. And see, here's my Christian brothers. Anytime somebody says, well, you're going to do a theocracy. Oh, no, we're not going to do a theocracy.
But that's what they want.
Well, it may be...
Except for the few that they would not... They wouldn't legislate going to church on Sunday, but they might.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Although it should be Saturday.
Yeah, they may or may not go so far... But the fact that they want to legislate their morality to a certain degree, to that degree, that's a theocracy. So what you're saying, and here's their argument. Well, because everybody has a moral background or whatever they want to legislate is rooted in a moral code, which is true. It's absolutely true. You know, we're against their moral code, but we're for our moral code. That's where you have to come down. And when you do that, you're destroying liberty. Now, you say, well, again, this is what they're going to say. Well, you just want people to be able to, you know, do what they want. You want men to be able to go in women's bathrooms. No, I do not.
That's anti-liberty.
That's anti-liberty.
And that I am tired of people saying that libertarians would want.
Yeah.
I've heard that many times. They might want men coming in a women's bathroom. Yeah. No, we won't. We do not want that.
Yeah, some libertarians might, but they're misguided.
That's right. Just like other people are misguided too. So the political philosophy, or you need to look at that. And that's let's legislate as little as we can to just keep a civil society.
That's right.
That's the position of libertarianism.
Well, and that's what we're going to come back to. So anyway, let me just read a couple of more quotes. He says, a common argument I've heard in response to the above is I don't legislate morality. Something should be illegal if it harms another. Other arguments are that we should merely prohibit force or protect property rights. See, now he's getting close to where. See, you don't really understand where I'm coming from, but you're getting close here. But he says, leaving alone the deep matter of what constitutes harm, These assertions are, with all due respect, dodges. Is it wrong to harm another, use unjust force against him, or violate property rights? If not, why trouble over it? Excuse me. Well, it is wrong. So then he would say, well, you're legislating morality. That's true, but hang on. That's not the whole story. So he goes on. It's not the whole story, but hang on. He goes on. People making the harm, force, or property rights argument are almost universally sincere, except with themselves, as it's self-deception. It's a way of... See, he's saying people like me, people like us, are self-deceived. He says it's a way of preserving a mistaken ideological principle, don't legislate morality, by obscuring what it is you're actually doing when making law. It's also dangerous because it keeps things on a more superficial level. It's a way relativistic moderns can avoid dealing with something they consider inconvenient, messy, and divisive. So now I'm a relativistic modern. Excuse me. And again, I'm not taking offense at these things. It's just grievous that you characterize my position that way. Here's the reality. The question is not whether or not we're legislating morality per se. Every piece of legislation is rooted in some kind of moral code. That's true. But as I've said before, and I'm going to elaborate, I hope in a way that makes sense, the question is whether the issue we're talking about is a moral issue only, or a moral issue and a civil issue. Now, in order to answer that question, which is your question earlier, you have to ask the question, okay, what is the role of government? That's the question. That is the question. If you're going to have government, and see, anarchists, sidebar, they don't believe in chaos. They just don't believe in a centralized government. And they believe that people can get along by mutually agreed upon contracts, and they can provide their own security, and they can hire security companies to protect them. And there have been different societies in the history of the world that have actually lived that way. And then, of course, you've had societies where there is chaos. And you know what? You take the Old West, for example. It wasn't chaos, though. If you see, we get our notion of the West from television, which is actually inaccurate. Sometimes there were, you know, bandits. Sometimes there, you know, were these, you know, gunfights. But generally speaking, a man didn't mess with another man's property because he knew he's liable to get shot. So there was a lot of law and order in the Wild West without legislation, without a marshal, without law and order. I'm not arguing for that. I'm just saying you got to understand philosophy, theology, and history. But the question is, to get back to the point, what is the role of government? And you've got to ask that question if you're a Christian, because, you know, again, we're not Muslims. And so, yeah, you got to come from somebody's moral code, but hang on. Even saying that, I'm going to come back to that. But from a New Covenant perspective, from a New Testament perspective, the church and the state, church and the government are two different things. God doesn't tell us to legislate morality or impose Christianity through law. He tells us things like freedom of conscience. Everybody has freedom of conscience. You can't bind someone's conscience, for example. He says we're to persuade people. The role of government is to protect our rights. God says things like, thou shalt not murder. Okay, well, that means I have a right to life. Thou shalt not steal. I have a right to property. This is why the founding fathers, influenced by that Christian worldview, said we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So these are God-given rights. So government merely protects those rights. So that's why murder it should be outlawed, because if you can't take my life. See, if government protects my rights, government says you can't take someone's life, you can't take someone's property. That's why stealing. So yes, murder is a moral issue, but it's also a civil issue. In other words, you don't have a civil society if you allow murder. That's why from a libertarian position, abortion is wrong. We don't outlaw abortion because it's a moral issue. It is a moral issue, but that's not why we outlaw it. We outlaw it because you don't have a civil society if you allow abortion. You're violating someone else's rights. And that's why libertarianism, for example, as a political philosophy, it doesn't say whether or not you should or should not have premarital sex. It just says that's your choice. Government's not going to say you can't have premarital sex. Now, I, as a Christian libertarian, I'm going to come along and say you should not have premarital sex. You need to repent. You need to come to Christ. But I'm not going to use the government to keep you from having premarital sex. I'm not going to throw you in jail or fine you because you have premarital sex. I don't have that right. You have the right to liberty. You're making a bad choice. You're making an immoral choice. But you see, premarital sex, the reason you don't outlaw that is because you have a right to that, and the government should protect your right to that, you see? So what I'm saying to my Christian brothers is, quit saying that everything we do is legislating morality, because what it boils down to for them is, well, I want to legislate my moral code instead of having someone else legislate their moral code. In other words, their moral code is it's wrong not to bake the cake for the same-sex couple. Therefore, you must bake the cake, and we're going to force it by law. Well, that's their moral code. Your moral code says, well, you're drinking alcohol on the Sabbath is bad, so we're not going to let you drink alcohol on Sunday. But they're both anti-liberty positions. And it's not just about liberty. It's about my rights. I have a right not to bake that cake. I have a right to drink alcohol on Sunday. Now, God might not want me to. That's between me and God. But you don't have any right to keep me from doing it. Does that make sense? Am I being clear or not?
Yeah, you're being clear.
I went on a little
I had a point, but now
there.
I've already missed the point. But that's
it. I'm
okay.
Sorry. Could have interjected.
No. It's all right.
Well, let's go back to the transgender issue. People always want to say, well, you just want... And I've heard some libertarians say, well, the transgenders ought to be able to go in whatever restroom they want. No. Women have rights. You can't allow that woman to be violated. So, for example, the government should have men and women restrooms. And the government should not force anybody else to do anything else. So, a private business, they can say, well, we're going to have transgender restrooms, or we're going to have men and women. That's their right. And I don't have to do business with them. You see what I'm saying? It's about protecting rights. That's how we answer this issue. And we'll talk more about it next time, because we got more to say.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.